Good morning, church. How are you? Pastor Tim was just praying about what's going on in the world. And I just want to ask you, like, how are you feeling? Are you anxious at all? Are you nervous at all? Are you distressed at all? And I think part of that goes to that question, how much does the peace of God rule in our hearts? Now, as Christians, we know that right now we're waiting for something. As we sit in church and we learn about Christ and we look at conforming our lives to Him out of love because of what He's done for us, we're also waiting. We know our faith is that Christ died, He rose again, He ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, and He's going to come back. And right now, we're waiting for Him to come back. In 1 Thessalonians, it describes what it will look and sound like when Jesus returns. It says, "For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." That's pretty mind-boggling. That's what we're looking forward to. That Christ is going to come back. That what we're here spending time learning and fellowshipping about is a reality. That Christ rose from the grave. That in Him we have salvation for our sins. Not because we deserve it, but because God loved us. And while we're here, as our sister was touching on, we are imperfect. And the whole world around us is imperfect, struggling with the legacy of sin. So, right now, we're going to look back. We're going to look back in Scripture to help us learn about what our future is going to be like by looking at what the past was like. And we can learn from what has happened. So, our text is from a time when people were also waiting. So, in John, we know that John overall is talking about Jesus. And earlier in John it says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John is very heavily about Jesus. But the text that we're reading today is looking at John the Baptist, who came before Jesus in the human way. He was born before Jesus was born of Mary. And so of John, we have this text that was so well read to us just a minute ago. I want you to take a look for a minute. Do you see anything in the text that's repeated? Do you see anything that seems to come up over and over again in this text? Just take a look. What I'd like you to do, grab somebody close to you. Just whisper to them, what do you see? And just do it quickly. It's all right. Just talk to somebody near me. If you want to lean forward just to the next pew. I know some of you are sitting further apart. But okay, here's what I see. I see these words popping up several times here. I see Messiah. I see Elijah. I see the prophet. And there's a few other places I could highlight there as well. But do you notice the Jews that come to Jesus seem to have these questions? They want to know who John the Baptist is. And they're like, are you the Messiah? And when they say Messiah, that's the same word as Christ. Christ is just Messiah. Messiah in Hebrew, Christ in Greek, Messiah in English. Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? And this seems to be super important to these Jewish messengers that are coming to Jesus. So now we're going to step a little bit further back. This is a New Testament. We're going to go into the Old Testament now. Because Jesus himself tells us that the Old Testament, that these are also the scriptures that speak of him. That when we look at the Old Testament, it's talking, it's testifying about Jesus. So here we go. Here's a picture of the Old Testament prophets, okay? I don't know if you can see that very clearly, but right at the end, we have Malachi. And if you look in your Bible, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Jews today would actually say Malachi is the last prophet, the last one. So Jews today would say that Malachi stands at the end of the prophetic books of the Tanakh, what we would call the Old Testament. And tradition held that after him, prophecy ceased in Israel. In other words, God stopped talking to Israel. Jewish people believe that the prophet Malachi was the very last one. That after Malachi, the Holy Spirit stopped talking directly to the Jewish people. And this was promised, this was prophesied by the prophet Amos. So Amos, in Amos 8:11, says, "The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land." Famine? Not a famine for food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of God. So God actually tells us, hey, there's going to come a time, I'm going to stop talking to you. I'm going to stop talking to the Jewish people. That time is Malachi. Malachi is the last one. And in Malachi, Malachi begins by telling Israel that God loves them. God loves you. God loves you. But Malachi also says, but you have not loved God back. That you, Israel, God, you're supposed to be God's people. You're supposed to be his children. But you have dishonored your father. You've not loved God the way you should. And after Malachi finishes his prophecy, what Amos promises happens. That from Malachi, the Spirit of God stops talking to Israel. So, just quickly, when we talk about prophecy in the Bible means something different than what prophecy that people in the world today talk about mean. So often when we hear the word prophecy, people are talking about, are you telling the future? Prophecy in the Bible doesn't just mean telling the future. Prophecy in the Bible, I think, is best described by 2 Peter. So he says, prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So what we have, a prophet is someone who God uses. It's a human being that God uses, and his Holy Spirit speaks through that human being. Doesn't mean the prophet is perfect. Doesn't mean the prophet is God. It means that God sends his Spirit to talk through that human being. And after Malachi, God stops doing that with Israel. He stops. So, Malachi, though, said that there was going to be a day when the Word of God, the Spirit of God, was going to come back. So Malachi basically said, look, it's going to stop after me, but God's going to come back to you. And Malachi says, behold, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord whom you seek. And the Jews would say, the Lord who we seek, that's the Messiah. So Malachi says, behold, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord whom you seek, the Messiah, will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. See, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And Malachi also says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So before I send you the Messiah, before I send you the Christ, Elijah the prophet is going to come, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Do you notice? Those words we saw in John are here. Messiah, Christ, Elijah, the prophet. The Jewish people in the time of Jesus are waiting for the Messiah. Why? Because they're going through a lot of suffering in the world. Bad things are happening to them, to their people. The world is a mess. But also, in their holy books, God talks to their people. God is with the people of Israel. God appears before Abraham. God speaks to Isaac. That God has stopped talking to them. For 400 years, Malachi is 400 years before Jesus. The Jews have been waiting for God's voice to come back to them for 400 years. As all these terrible things are happening, they want God to be with them. They want to feel God's presence. They want to hear his voice from prophets. So when these Jewish messengers come from the Jewish leadership, there's a certain desperation in their voice. God has stopped talking to them. They think God has stopped talking to them. Well, Malachi tells them, God stopped talking to you because you have not honored me. You have not loved me. You have not lived as I call you to live. You don't treat me like your father. But I'm going to come back. And the Jews, I'm sure you've heard in church how the Pharisees try very hard to obey everything. Why? Because they think that if they are more obedient, Christ will come. If they think they obey better, the God who has become silent will come back to them. They think that if they follow and do what God called them to do the first time, then maybe God's going to come back. Maybe their father will talk to them again. Maybe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will once again tabernacle with them. So when they come and they ask John the Baptist, "Are you the Messiah?" And John confesses freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" Because Elijah is going to come before the Christ. And he said, "I am not." And so they asked, "Well, are you the prophet? Is the prophet a different prophet than Elijah?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And John replies in the words of another prophet, and another prophet talking about the Christ, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been questioning have said, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John tells them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He's the one who comes after me, the straps of whom sandals I'm not worthy to untie." And later we're told that John does come in the spirit and power of Elijah, and that we know after him the Christ comes, Jesus comes. Now here's the sad part. Christ came 400 years after Malachi. When God's voice became silent with the Jewish people, Malachi told them that God is going to come back to you. And they were waiting and waiting and waiting, praying and praying and praying. And we're here because we believe that God answered that prayer. We believe that in the person of Jesus, the son of Joseph, the son of Mary, God became flesh, and he came, and that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the answer to the hope of Israel. And many Jews did follow him. All of his early disciples and followers were Jewish. But here's the sad thing. Many Jews didn't accept him. Many of the children of Abraham did not trust that Jesus was the Messiah. And many today still don't believe that Jesus is their Messiah. He's not our Messiah. He's not the Messiah of the Chinese people. He's not the Messiah of any people except the Jews. But the Messiah of the Jews came for all people. And in his love, we are now considered part of the tribe of Israel, that we're grafted on, we're attached to the living vine, that's rooted in Christ. Now, the sad thing is that for the Jews, the modern Jews, the ones that do not accept Jesus, they're still waiting. For them, it's been almost 2,500 years. And they're still waiting. Now, I want to bring it to us here today, though. Although, before I leave, I would want to say, we're seeing something today with the Jewish people. One of the Jewish leaders in Canada, he said that there are more Jews today coming to Christ. In other words, more Jews who are coming to understand that Jesus is their Messiah. He is the one the prophets spoke about. He is the one that Malachi promised. He's the one that Isaiah told them would come. We are seeing more Jews come to acceptance of their Messiah in the last 20, 30 years than we've seen in 2,000 years. Something's happening today. And we're seeing more sons of Abraham come to Christ than ever before. But I just want to bring this to us here, because sometimes we can feel like the Jews did back then. We can feel like, God, where are you in my life? God, where are you now? God, where are you when these wars are happening? God, where are you when there's all this racism, when there's all this hate, when there's all this confusion, when there's all of these voices that cause us anxiety? All of this, which we know in our heart is wrong, happening around us. And we can sometimes feel like, God, where are you? God is the same God in the Old Testament that he is in the New. That our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. That this God that we see in John, he's in control. He knows the past. He knows the future. He knows what will happen. Just as Christ came in fulfillment to the prophecies, Christ will come again in fulfillment to the prophecies. That this God we have, one of the foundational things about God is that he is trustworthy. He is faithful. Even when we are unfaithful, even when Israel was unfaithful, God remained faithful. Even when Israel did not honor their father, even when Israel did not obey, God stepped away for a time. But he came back because he has an everlasting covenant that his fulfillment of his covenant comes in Jesus. That through Jesus, salvation is offered not just to the Jewish people, because they could never achieve salvation through obedience. Because they could never be obedient enough. But they learned what sin was. And Christ offered his salvation in this person, Christ, the Messiah. The fulfillment of the prophets. So today, I don't know about you. There are days when I feel anxious. There are days when my mind is racing, because there's so much happening. And sometimes I feel like, God, where are you? God, I read about you in the Bible, but where are you today? Can I feel you? Can I touch you? Can I hear you? what we see in John, what we see in Malachi. God is faithful. Nothing that's happening right now is outside of God's control. He knows everything that will happen. We shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid. The Jews shouldn't have been afraid 2,000 years ago. Their God is in control. He will come in His time. We shouldn't be afraid today. God will return. Christ will return in His time. God is faithful. So what's our job? Don't be afraid. Live such good lives in this world that we shine, that people look and say, why do you have peace? Why do you have joy when the world is so crazy? Well, because I know what tomorrow brings, because I know the end is good, because I know my God. And my God has been faithful in the past, and He will be faithful in the future. And so what we should do is to continue living, loving, being faithful to God, sharing about Him. And we should be looking ahead to that wonderful day when God in Christ returns. I don't know what day that's going to be. I don't know what hour it's going to be. I do know that today, it's one day closer than yesterday. And so it's coming. But we don't need to be afraid. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on God. Why don't we end in a prayer? God, in this world, there are so many troubles. So many things that are not right, that are unjust. So many things that are beyond our control. But God, there's nothing that's outside of your control. And you know what tomorrow brings. And you know that the end that's coming is good, that Christ is good, and that He will return, that You will keep Your promises. So God, may You help us here now. May You help us to keep our eyes focused on You. May You help us to keep our mouths and our hands obedient to You. May You help us to bind our thoughts so that we can be pleasing to You. Not because we're trying to earn Your salvation. We already have it in Christ. But help us to be like You because we love You. Because we say, my Father is good. And I want to be like my Father. So God, may You help each and every one of us wherever we are in our walk, in our faith with You. And all of this we lift up to You in Jesus' name. Amen.